2015 National English Competition for College Students. Level A, Final. Part 1. Listening Comprehension. Section A. In this section, you will hear 5 short conversations. Each conversation will be read only once. At the end of each conversation, there will be a 15-second pause. During the pause, read the question and the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then, mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet with a single line through the center. One. Hello, John. Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. We haven't ordered yet. So, what's new?
Nothing much. Work's been really busy this week. That's why I had to rush to get here. How are things with you?
Same as usual. Overworked, underpaid.
I've got this new boss. She's a nightmare. Works 25 hours a day and expects everybody else to do the same. I've been working till at least 10 o'clock every night this week. Two.
Midland Express, how can I help you?
Hello. I traveled up to Birmingham on one of your services this morning. And I'm pretty sure I left my handbag on the bus.
I see, madam. Which service were you traveling on?
Oh, I don't know the number, but it was London to Birmingham Express, and it got in at about 10 o'clock.
And could you describe the item for me, please?
Yes, it's a small, shiny, black, plastic handbag.
Uh-huh.
With a short hand strap?
Right.
And a large silver-colored buckle.
Hmm.
I was sitting near the... Three.
Jane, you look fantastic. And that dress. Why, it can't be more than a size 10.
Size 8, actually. I lost 10 kilos in the last 2 weeks. And I feel great, too.
10 kilos? That's amazing. But it must have been really hard work.
Not at all. It was really easy. Thanks to Fatticide.
Fatticide?
Yes, Fatticide body cream. Just rub it on every night before bedtime. And while you're asleep, the fat just melts away. No need for painful exercise or boring diets. Eat what you like and still lose weight.
Four. What about sales volume?
Well, considering the economy's not doing well, I think the figures have been pretty good. Sales in Europe are up 2% on last year, and in the US they're up 1%.
What about Asia?
Not so good, I'm afraid. Sales volume is down 7% compared to last year. The only good news is that our Slingsbot disposable camera is selling very strongly in all Asian markets. In the 3 years since it was launched, we've had total sales of 8 million units.
That's good. Really good. I wish we had a few more products like that. Five. Did you see this on the sports page?
See what?
Manchester United have just paid $80 million for a new striker.
Wow!
Listen, Italian striker Basil Panini has become the world's most expensive soccer player in an $80 million move from Roma to Manchester United.
$80 million?
Yeah. The 22-year-old international has signed a 5-year contract worth an estimated $7 million a year.
Wow. Section B. In this section, you will hear 2 long conversations. Each conversation will be read only once. At the end of each conversation, there will be a 1-minute pause. During the pause, read the questions, and the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then, mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet with a single line through the center. Conversation 1.
Good morning, Theodore.
Good morning. Do you know how to proofread?
Yeah, of course.
Can you check these for spelling and grammar?
Mm-hmm. Just send them over. I love this first one from Roger to his girlfriend. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Rachel, I miss you so much. It hurts my whole body.
No, you don't have to read it out loud.
Okay.
I mean, you could if you want.
Okay. Rachel, I miss you so much. It hurts my whole body. The world is being unfair to us. The world is on my shit list, as is this couple that is making out across from me in this restaurant. I think I'm going to have to go on a mission of revenge, and I must beat up the world's face with my bare knuckles, making it a bloody pulpy mess. And I'll stomp on this couple's teeth for reminding me of your sweet little cute crooked tooth that I love. I think that might be my favorite one. I did the corrections in red. I altered a couple of the phrases in some of the more impressionistic letters, but I'm not much of a poet, so I think I might have messed them up a bit.
No, these are great.
Really?
Thank you.
So to write your letter, what did Roger send you?
Oh, he just said he was in Prague on a business trip and he missed Rachel.
So how'd you know about her crooked little tooth?
Well, I've been writing their letters since they met 8 years ago. The first letter I ever wrote for him was for her birthday. And I wrote about her crooked little tooth because I saw it in a photo of them.
That's very sweet. You have a meeting in 5 minutes.
Oh, I forgot. Thank you. Ah, you're good.
Yes, I am.
Conversation 2.
And I was going to start, Jody, by saying that, damn, girl, you're prolific. I mean, 19 novels, you're 45. I'd like to live in your brain for a few weeks because I think it would be a very exciting place to be because it must be working overtime. And I hate to be pedestrian by asking you a frequently asked question, but, you know, I've interviewed a number of authors through the course of my career, and I remember, just to name drop, Philip Roth told me that he writes standing up and John Grisham writes longhand on legal pads. I'm not sure if he still does, but that's what he used to do. And can you just tell us a little bit about your writing regimen? I think I also read that you start a new book the day after your previous one is the day after it's finished or the day after it's published?
The day after it's finished.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you?
I don't know.
I mean, you don't take a break at all?
Well, not that way, because I'm usually overlapping books. You know, I tend to write one book at a time, to be physically writing one book at a time, although that's a big lie, because I was writing two books at one time for this year. But it starts for me with a what-if question, and it's something that's keeping me up at night, something that's bothering me, something that, you know, just makes me wonder, what would I do in that situation? And if I continue to think about it, I know it's a really good idea for a novel. And if I keep thinking about it, characters pop up like little mushrooms, and they begin to take the story away from me. And at that point, I stop everything.
Do you call security?
No, you know, here's the thing. It's funny. I've said this many, many times, but writing is successful schizophrenia because I'm paid to hear voices in my head, right? And so, you know.
Alrighty then.
Right, yes. But really, you know, it's great because you listen to them, but you also know that you need to stop and learn as much about those characters as you possibly can because you're the authority. So I don't let myself write a word until I've done a boatload of research, and I bet you're going to get to that later.
Oh, I definitely, because yeah. I mean, among many things, that is such a fascinating topic, the way that you research books. But before we get to that, I mean, you really do grapple with big issues, as you said, things that keep you up at night. I mean, organ donation, gay rights, abortion, death row, bullying, murder in Amish country, teenage suicide, the right to die. I mean, to name just some of them, all kind of ethical dilemmas. And I'm just curious, how do you get interested in these topics? Do you read things in the paper? Do you see things on television? What piques your interest in a particular issue at any given time?
It really depends on the topic. Sometimes it can be a story that I read. When I was coming up for the idea with Handle with Care, which is about wrongful birth lawsuits, it actually had its genesis here in New York City. I was on a book tour. I had Sunday morning to do nothing, and I picked up a copy of the New York Times, and I read a magazine article in there about a woman who had sued her OBGYN for wrongful birth, and I was fascinated by it, and I couldn't get it out of my mind. So that really started that particular book rolling. Sometimes it could be my mother telling me, nobody knows about the Amish, and if anyone could find out about them, it would be you. And that'll be the reason I write.
And your mom's here tonight,
too. She is. I don't know where she is, but she's
out
there.
Hi.
Hi, Mom. And you know, and then sometimes it's I think a much more organic process, something that I've come to worry about because I'm a mom mostly. Something like, what are the worst things that you could imagine happening to a kid? You know, a child being kidnapped, a child getting sick, a child dying, all of those things which are very natural fears for a parent manifest themselves somewhere in my fiction. And I think to some extent, and this is completely wrong, I'm very superstitious. I think if I write about it, it'll never happen to me. Isn't that weird?
No, but, yeah. No, I can see that. No, I can see that. I can see how you'd feel that way. Meanwhile, you know, as you mentioned, the research you do really is extraordinary and so fascinating. I know your newest novel is called Lone Wolf, and sort of Whose Life Is It Anyway meets Dancing with Wolves. Not really, but...
That's how we're going to pitch it to Hollywood. That's great.
Not really, but can you tell us a little bit about what this book is about and the kind of research you did for it? Because it's sort of two very different ideas in one novel.
Right. The book is about a guy named Luke Warren, who is a very unique kind of wolf biologist. Instead of studying wolves from afar, he actually goes and lives with a wild wolf pack up in Canada.
Section C. In this section, you will hear 5 short news items. Each item will be read only once. After each item, there will be a 15-second pause. During the pause, read the question and the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet with a single line through the center.
Section 16. The International Monetary Fund's own watchdog has criticized the agency, saying it called off austerity too soon after the financial crisis. A new report from the IMF's Independent Valuation Office says the advice was less effective in promoting recovery and was detrimental to emerging markets. The report says that much of the research, including the IMF's own, suggested that government tax and spending policies are particularly effective following a financial crisis. Instead, the IMF advised using interest rates and the policy on its quantitative easing, which, the report argues, were less likely to work.
Section 17. A painting sold by the auction house Sotheby's in London for $83,000 is at the center of a legal battle amid claims that it could be the work of the Baroque Italian master Caravaggio and worth over $20 million. In 2006, the then owner of the painting, Bill S., asked Sotheby's for their opinion. They said it was a replica. The owner then sold it, but the buyer claimed it was an original. It's called The Card Shops, and it depicts a wealthy young man at a card table falling victim to 2 cheats.
Section 18. A day earlier, Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi said the recapture of Jurf al-Shakhar, about 50 kilometers south of Baghdad, was a fatal blow against the Islamic State group. The Sunni extremists had occupied the town since July. In Monday's other attack, a car bomb exploded in a central Baghdad neighborhood filled with shops and restaurants, killing at least 10 people. In another development, the U.S. military said Monday it launched 11 airstrikes against Islamic State targets in Iraq and Syria in the past day.
Section 19. 2 Ukrainian pro-European parties are in the lead after a parliamentary election on Sunday. With more than 65% of the votes counted, Ukraine's Central Election Commission says Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk's Popular Front is in first place with nearly 22% of the votes. A political bloc headed by the Prime Minister's ally, President Petro Poroshenko, was a close second with 21%. A third pro-Western party called Self-Help was in third place with about 11%. While the opposition bloc party of Ukraine's ousted pro-Russia president, Viktor Yanukovych, was fourth with almost 10%.
Section 20. At least 40 people remain missing and presumed dead after an unexpected blizzard struck a popular Himalayan trekking route last week. Nepalese search teams, traveling by helicopter, continue to scan high-altitude areas in what is gradually turning from a rescue to a recovery operation. At least 39 hikers are confirmed dead, among them Canadians, Indians, Israelis, Slovaks, and Poles, but mostly Nepalese porters. Many of the hikers were on Nepal's popular Annapurna Trail, where the storm produced avalanches.
Section D. In this section, you will hear a short passage. For questions 21 to 30, complete the notes using no more than three words for each blank. The passage will be read only once. Remember to write the answers on the answer sheet.
Today, currency is a mixture of coins and paper money, but it wasn't always that way. Before people had metal coins and paper bills, they used a lot of unusual things for money. In one part of the world, for example, people used shark's teeth for money. In some places, brightly colored feathers and rare seashells were money. People in one area even used the hair from elephants' tails for money. No one knows for sure when people started using metal coins for money. The oldest coins are over 2,500 years old, so we know that people used coins a very long time ago. At first, people used precious metals, such as gold and silver, to make coins. They stamped the shape of a person or animal on each coin to indicate its value. In the 13th century, people in China used iron coins for their currency. These coins weren't worth very much, and people had to use many of them to buy things. Because it was inconvenient to carry so many coins, the government started making paper receipts. People took these receipts to banks and traded them for coins. This was the first example of paper money. Today, most countries use a mixture of coins and paper bills for their currency. In the United States, the paper bills are all the same size and color. For example, the $1 bill is the same size and color as the $100 bill. In many other countries, the bills have different sizes and colors. The smaller bills are worth less money. This makes it easier for people to tell the value of their money. In 2002, 12 European countries started using a completely new currency. It's called the euro. Many Europeans miss their old currencies, but now it's easier to move money from one country to another. Here are a few more fascinating facts about the history of money. Feathers were the lightest money ever used. People on the Pacific island of Santa Cruz used them. Stones were the heaviest money ever used. People on the Pacific island of Yap used them. Some weighed over 500 pounds. The smallest money ever used was in Greece. The coins were made of metal, but they were smaller than an apple seed.
This is the end of the listening part. Please transfer your answers to the answer sheet.